Like you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the second chapter of the Old Testament prophecy of Daniel. Last week in our study, we found Daniel in a very dire predicament. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He called in his wise men, his servants, to tell him the interpretation of the dream. And they said, well, you tell us what the dream is. We'll give you the interpretation of it. And he said, no, I want to make sure you're telling me the truth. I want you to tell me what the dream is, and then tell me the interpretation. They said, well, we can't do that. And King got angry, and he said, okay, I'm going to have all you guys killed. That's where we left off last week. Apparently, Daniel was not there at that present time, but he was included in that bunch that were under the king's orders to be executed, and he's in a serious predicament. And we want to pick up on the story today. And I want to, in doing so, ask the question, does prayer change things? Now, before we get into the subject this morning, I want to ask you to do something that I don't believe I've ever asked you to do before. Probably in whatever time the Lord gives me here, I don't think I'll ever ask you again to do this. But I want you to do it for a few seconds this morning. I want you to remove all the biblical thinking out of your mind this morning. I want you to forget every verse of Scripture that you know. I want you to forget every theological concept that you believe. I want you for a moment or two to think as an unbeliever. Okay? If you will do that, you will actually help me. Now, only for a moment. We'll get back to biblical thinking in just a moment. But before I can ask and answer the question, does prayer change things, there's a number of things that we must lay as a foundation for our study this morning. A number of questions. And the first question that we need to ask and answer is, does God exist? It's useless to ask the question, does prayer change things, if there is not a God that's out there that we can pray to. So, two possibilities to this question. Yes, God does exist, or no, He doesn't. Well, let's consider the no, He doesn't. Well, let's stop here because this study is just a waste of time if God is not out there. If He doesn't exist, why bother asking the question, can prayer change things? There's no God there. There's no sense in praying. There's no opportunity for prayer to be answered. So let's... It is snowing pretty hard out there. Let's just go, well, wait a minute. You're here this morning because you probably do believe that God exists, don't you? You've looked at evidences, and you've probably seen the hand of God working at various points in your life. And while you haven't seen God, you've seen Him moving, and you believe that He's out there. So we better go with yes as the answer. Well, that leads us to a second question. Is God involved in creation? If He's out there, the deist says He's out there and He's not involved. So the answer to this question could also be a yes or no. And let's consider the no answer first. God is out there, but He's not involved at all in our lives. Well then, let's stop here because this study is a waste of time. Right? Why bother praying? Even if there's a God out there that can hear our prayers, but He's not involved and He's not going to answer, what's the use in praying? So why should we even have a study on prayer? Well, we know that that's not true. We've seen answers to prayer, haven't we? So God must be involved in creation. We've seen supernatural acts throughout time. God is involved. So the answer to that question is yes, God is involved in creation, but that leads us to another question, and the question we want to ask, does prayer change things? God is out there, God is wanting to get involved, but does He really respond or get involved on the basis of our prayers? And once again, we have a yes and no answer to that question. And once again, let's consider the no answer first. God is out there. God is involved. But God doesn't get involved on the basis of our prayers. He gets involved for whatever reasons He wants to get involved. So the answer to the no question then is stop here, the study is a waste. You're catching on pretty quick. I would like to contend that prayer does change things. But this leads to another question. And that question is, does prayer change all things? And once again, we have a yes or no answer. And which should we consider first? Well, let's consider the yes question. Experience tells me that's not true. Why, just 2 weeks ago, Joe Merlacki was praying for his Baltimore Ravens. I was praying for my Philadelphia Eagles. And you know what? Our prayers didn't get through, did they? But what does God do when Joe and I are praying for our respective teams and there are people that are fans of the other teams praying exactly opposite of what we're praying for? What does God do? Flip a coin and say, oh, heads, that means Baltimore is going to win. I don't think that's how God operates. I could pray this morning that God would just drop down a Mercedes-Benz out of heaven for me that I could ride. Well, no, it's too snowy. Maybe I'd want a Hummer to get home tonight. And I pray, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, and you know what? God doesn't answer that one. Well, you say, Pastor, those are kind of ridiculous things. Well, what about real things? About a year ago or so, when Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast, do you think there were people that were praying, Lord, spare my life? And God chose not to answer that prayer in the affirmative because there were lives lost. Does God or does prayer change all things? Experience tells us that's not true. The answer must be then no. Well, then that brings another question. What does prayer affect? What things does prayer change? There is not a yes or no answer to that question. There is only this answer. 1 John chapter 5 tells us that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, we know that we have the petitions we desire of Him. God answers prayer for the things that are found within His will. And that's it. Well, that brings another question. This is getting complicated. If God has a determined will, why pray? God's got His mind made up already, what He's going to do, what He's not going to do. Why bother praying? Because God's going to do it regardless of whether we pray or not. That brings us to our study. Daniel chapter 2. You will read with me verse 14 on down through. Then Daniel answered. Now remember, here's the decree has gone forth to have these men executed because they couldn't show the interpretation and the dream itself. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Verse 19, then, and may I suggest to you that that word is probably the most important word in our study this morning. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Arioch goes out, he's bringing all these wise men, including Daniel and his buddies, back to the palace in order to have them executed. And he comes to Daniel, and Daniel asks, what in the world's going on here? He tells him the king's edict, and Daniel says, well, wait a minute. I kind of innocent here. I wasn't involved in that, and I think God can do something. He goes to the king and says, King, you just give me a few minutes to go with my friends, and we're going to have a little prayer meeting, and I'll come back. I'll tell you the dream and its interpretation. The king says, okay, I've got plenty of time on my hands. He allows them to do that. He gets his buddies together. They have a prayer meeting. They are begging of God mercies from heaven, that God would reveal what was in the king's dream. Then, after they had prayed, was the secret revealed. God answered prayer according to his will. That brings a number of other questions. Question number one, could God have protected Daniel and his friends apart from this prayer meeting? Now, could God have done something that would have kept them free from the decree of the king? And the answer is yes, he could have. God could have put it into the heart of King Nebuchadnezzar. You know what? Daniel and his buddies, they weren't involved in this. There's something different about them. I'm going to give them a pass on this one. Get the rest of these wise guys out of here. But we'll keep Daniel and his buddies safe. God could have done that. God could have changed the king's heart, because the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he will. God could have done something on a supernatural basis. Even if Daniel would have been in the massacre of these wise men and the slaughter of them, God could have supernaturally protected them. In a couple of weeks, Lord willing, we're going to get to the wonderful story of Daniel in the lion's den and how God shut the mouth of those lions. God supernaturally acted, and I don't know exactly how these men were going to be killed, but God could have protected Daniel, somehow gotten out of it. And, you know, Arioch didn't even have to make known to Daniel what was going on. He could have just said, you're coming with me, and that's it. And, yeah, God's will would have been accomplished without prayer. True. But that's not the way God designed it. Another question, could Daniel have received the revelation apart from prayer? Why didn't God just say to Daniel, you know what, the king's had a dream, I want you to understand what the dream is, here's the meaning of the thing, go tell him what it is. Daniel was a prophet. Now, a prophet was not only a spiritual office in the Old Testament, it was a spiritual ability. If you want to put New Testament terms to it, was a spiritual gift. The prophets were dependent upon God for the totality of their ministry. A prophet couldn't sit down and say, I'm going to think of something and come up with a message and say, the Lord spoke to me, because that would have been their own prophecy. In fact, Jeremiah had some very strong words for the false prophets when he said, what you're saying is the visions of your own heart. They don't come from God. It's a figment of your imagination. When God spoke. The prophets didn't have to do anything to receive it. Just they had it. There it is. All they had to do is tell it. And God certainly could have spoken to Daniel and said, here's the whole prophecy. You go tell the king. Piece of cake, apart from prayer. But God didn't do that. He waited for Daniel and his friends to have a little prayer meeting. Could Daniel have prayed by himself? And the answer is, he certainly could have. No two ways about it. He didn't have to call Mishael and Azariah and Hananiah. He could have just gone off into his room all by himself and sat down and prayed and said, Lord, I'm in a predicament here and I'm praying for my buddies and we need some help. Turn with me, keep your finger here in Daniel chapter 2. We're coming back in just a second. Turn with me to the New Testament book of James. I'll show you something. James chapter 5. Verse 17, Elias, or better, Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. That is, he all by himself prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Here's a man, prayed one day, God, we've got a problem down here with King Ahab. We need some divine intervention. He needs to know that you're in control of things. God, I'm going to pray that it doesn't rain. And he prayed, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. One man, not all the prophets, just one man prayed. And for 3.5 years it didn't rain, and one man prayed a second time, the same man, and all of a sudden it starts raining. Now drum backwards to verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of righteous people. It doesn't say that, does it? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, singular, avails much. Daniel was a righteous man. Daniel could have gone into his room all by himself and prayed all by himself. And God would have answered the prayer, and God would have worked, and God would have given the revelation. Things would be fine, but that's not how God chose to work. He had Daniel and his friends. You see, two people praying doesn't make the prayer twice as effective. Here's the one I like. Let's get the pastor to pray about this. His prayers are better than ours. You don't know me very well, do you? You see, I'm no closer to heaven in the year of God than you are. No farther away, but no closer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, not a pastoral man, not a missionary man, not a theological man or woman, but a righteous man, avails much. Well, then the question is, why group prayer? Why did God design for these four men to get together and pray before he remembered? Then he answered. That word then is in there. He revealed the secret. Let me give you two reasons I believe that God waited upon this prayer meeting. First of all, it involved all four of them. This wasn't a matter private to Daniel. It wasn't just Daniel's head that was on the line. It was all four of their lives. And there was a necessity then of all four of them praying for God's revelation and consequently God's protection. And notice what they were praying, verse 18, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. It involved all of them. But why pray at all? Because God wanted to display his glory before all of them. Read on with me, beginning at verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. God wants us to know how great he is in the areas of knowledge and sovereignty. You see, the problem with this whole secret is Daniel could have sat down and come up with something, and maybe just by coincidence, by a stroke of word, I don't believe in luck, would have gotten the right dream and the right interpretation. Now, I don't think there's much probability of that happening, but let's just say it happened. And Daniel would scratch his head and say, man, I was pretty good, wasn't I? I thought that thing through all by myself, didn't I? I must be pretty intelligent, aren't I? Like what Dr. Ryder said, man is the most curious of God's creation. You pat him on the back and his head swells. And Daniel would have had a head that big that no hat could ever cover. But God wants us to know how great He is. Daniel and his buddies were seeking mercies, undeserved grace from God. God hears something that's totally beyond our ability. In fact, that's what the wise men of Babylon said. Nobody can figure out these things except the gods be with them, and we don't know of a God who's with man. Daniel said, I do. And he prayed, and God revealed it. God said, let me show you how smart I am. And Daniel said, wisdom and might are yours, God. You are the one who changes the seasons. You are the one who puts kings on the throne and removes them from the throne. These things don't happen just by chance. They don't happen merely by human power and ingenuity and wisdom. God, you're the one that does that. God, when man scratches his head and said, I don't know, we can count on you to know. Secondly, God wants us then to rely on Him for the things beyond our own abilities. Verse 23, I thank Thee and praise Thee, O God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might and hast made known unto me now what we desired of Thee, for Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Daniel looks at God and he recognizes how great God is, and he said, man, that is just fantastic. I have this sentence of death hanging over me. But God, I know you gave me the revelation of this dream. I know that when I go into the king and tell him what it is, he's going to be satisfied with that, and this death penalty is going to be eliminated. I need not fear what man will do to me. I can trust in you and not in my own ability. If I had a nickel for every time I heard someone say, you just need to trust in yourself or believe in yourself, I'd be a rich man today. Thing is, I know what's in me, and it's not worth trusting. But I know what's in God. God wants us then to rely on Him. And may I say to you, when we get to the story of Daniel and the lion's den, if you go home today and just cursory read that thing, just look over it, not in detail, but just an overview of the thing, look at Daniel's composure. Do you see Daniel fighting and screaming, don't put me in there? Why wasn't he afraid? Because he trusted in God who could keep him. Then there's a third thing that prayer affected. God wants the world to trust Him. Drop on down a few verses. Verse 27. I'm not going to get into detail because this is next week's message. But Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. Here's something that is beyond your most intelligent men's capabilities of doing. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. And he goes on to explain then what this dream is all about. You see, Nebuchadnezzar, God didn't reveal it just for my sake. He wants you to know about Him too. And He wants you to trust in Him. Now, Nebuchadnezzar didn't at that very point in time believe on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of Daniel. But I believe later on he did. And it may be that God was using this situation to prepare him for that. Does prayer change things? Now let me go one more direction. Yes, it does. Give you one more illustration of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there he went and prayed three times. And you say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, that he prayed three times. If there'd be any way, let this cup pass from me. And God said, no, and he died on the cross, didn't he? How'd that change things? Oh, remember, that wasn't all of his prayer. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. If you look at the events of the crucifixion, you will find that those things were far more than any person could bear. The flogging that Jesus received at the hands of Pilate, the 39 lashes, which was in itself enough to cause death, didn't. The carrying of the cross from Jerusalem outside the city in his weakened condition was enough to just ruin him. And it didn't. The pounding of those spikes into his hands and into his legs must have been awful. And we don't find him crying out, saying, it hurts too much. We don't find him saying, you know what, this isn't fair. As the hymn goes, he could have called 10,000 angels and come down off of that cross. But he didn't do it. Why? Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying that God would enable him to endure the cross. Did that change things? It changes eternity for everybody who puts their faith and trust in him. Prayer changes things. Let's stop there. Oh, now wait a minute. We can't stop there. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that prayer changes things? If you do, say amen. Then why don't we do it more often? Now we can stop. Father, why do we depend so much upon ourselves? Why do we think we're so intelligent? Why do we think we're so great? Why do we put so little emphasis on prayer? Except when we come to those situations in our life when we realize, hey, we don't have an answer. We don't have an ability. And there may even be a death sentence hanging over us. I can't help but think of what James said, that oftentimes we have not, simply because we forget, we fail to ask. Father, I wonder if there's one here this morning who's never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and prayed to receive Him as Savior because they thought, well, they could be good enough. They thought they could do enough. When the Word of God says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on Calvary's cross died in their place for them. And that simply by trusting in Him and calling upon His name, simply by saying and believing, Lord, here am I, a sinner, but I believe that Christ died for my sins and I want Him today to be my Savior, that they might have everlasting life. Father, I pray if there's one here right now, may the reality that prayer changes things cause them to pray and ask Christ to be theirs today. Father, encourage us in the ministry of prayer. Make it not an addendum to our lives, something to fall back on when there's nothing else to do. But may it be the focal point of every activity that we might accomplish your will on earth as it's done in heaven. In Jesus' precious name I pray.